the morning, rise into the street. Light me up that cigarette, and I strap shoes on my feet. Got to find a reason, reason things went wrong.
Good afternoon. It's Monday, April 20th, a semi-beautiful day here in the Georgia Mountains, and getting really much more feeling like spring. So our guest today is Kathy Frack from, and Kathy, why don't you, I'm sorry, Michael Vandervoort hosting today. Kathy, would you please introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you're up to these days?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the program. My name is Kathy Fiok, and I am a longtime HR professional. I've grown up in human resources. I live here in Louisville, Kentucky. I've been very active with SHRM and have been volunteer leaders in many different capacities. I've been a chapter president of the immediate past chair for Kentucky SHRM. I was also been involved with SHRM on a national basis. I was on faculty for more than 20 years. And so I have a love and a passion for human resources. But I have a new book that's just coming out in May. So I'm hoping to talk to you just a little bit about my new book.
Absolutely. So coincidentally, I'm not to make this about me, but it's just it's weird. I'm flying into Louisville on Friday, and I'll be there for a week. The organization that I'm the executive director of is having our spring conference at the Marriott in downtown Louisville, and we're coming in and going to invade town on Saturday and be there through Wednesday talking about labor relations and human resources and all the new NLRB changes that are coming. And it's 400 people, so we'll be hitting your... And looking forward to enjoying some fun times in downtown Louisville. That's a really great city from the time I've spent there.
It's absolutely fabulous. And not only that, is you'll be coming in the first part of Derby Week, which is too much fun. So we'll have to talk after the show and talk about putting together a fun calendar. And then maybe it would be fun to get together and meet, connect while you're in town.
That would be great. I don't know how much time I'll have because it's my first conference, and so I've pretty much focused on all of that. But let's try to at least maybe grab coffee or something. You mentioned Derby Week. Our contract with we have Overflow Hotel, so I won't say which one. We have two hotels. Our contract with a hotel requires that anybody that stays in town until Thursday night, which there are maybe only one or two, that they check out at 8 a.m. in the morning on the Thursday of Derby Week, or if they stay till 9:01, they'll be charged the prevailing area rate. The prevailing area rate for rooms at that hotel weekend is $1,500 per night. So if you stay past 9:01, they're gonna anyway. I was like, okay, I'd be throwing my lockers. Anyway, you didn't want to talk about Louisville, but you live in a great town. It's a great city, and I'm looking forward to getting there. So if we could connect, that would be awesome. So tell us about we have some standard questions on Drive-Thru, but I'm going to ditch those at first. Tell us about the book and why you wrote it I have a ton of questions about writing. So tell us.
Okay, well, cool. Well, this book is really a special book for me because, first of all, many of my books I have written in less than 6 weeks, and that's sort of what I'm doing now is being a book coach and helping people write their books. But this book is really unique in that it took me more than 10 years to get this from an idea to the book in my hand today. It's titled Hallelujah, An Anthem for Purposeful Work. And it is a business parable that I've co-authored with Dr. Lyle Sussman of the University of Louisville and Kevin Williamson, who is an author and publisher and also happens to be my nephew. But the book is a business parable, and this is sort of the quick story of how I came to have the idea of writing this book. I was an HR consultant and working a lot in the space of how do you reduce turnover, how do you improve engagement, how do you improve commitment, how do you build high-performing teams. And with that context, I have a background in music. Actually, my undergraduate degree is in vocal music. So I joined my church choir. And what I experienced in my church choir was that our leader there was doing all the things that I had read about in all the great literature about employee engagement and satisfaction. He was actually practicing all of those principles in a way that I had never, ever seen before. And what was also kind of interesting is that my church choir, we are arguably one of the best church choirs in the region. But here's the interesting thing. We have no paid soloists. We accept anybody and everybody. If you want to sing and you can't read music or you can't match pitch, it doesn't matter. You are welcome. So what's sort of interesting is how do you create a high-performing team when you're not selecting for talent relative to singing? And how? What are the components that you put together to bring together a group of people who are just really great at doing this singing and performing? So that's sort of the premise for the book. It's a business parable about a young woman who's very frustrated with her work team. It's dysfunctional at best. She's become very, very cynical. And as it turns out, someone invites her to join the church choir. And the church choir is actually my church choir, the chancel choir of Christ Church United Methodist here in Louisville, Kentucky. And so it's a story of what she observes in choir and then what she puts to work in her workplace and how it turns her team around.
Okay. Now, when you say a parable, so you're telling a so there are some really, I mean, that's a fairly common kind of book, but people do it in a, it's really interesting ways. So what I'm thinking of is books like The Goal by Eliyahu Goldratt. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing that. And Patrick Lencioni writes a lot of things that he calls fables. Is that kind of the same? You're telling a fiction story with that's a really interesting. Really interesting way to approach a leadership.
It's really done in more the way that Fish was written, because you know Fish is about the Pike Place Market, so it's about a real business, but it's a fictional story that's built around this very real organization. Similarly, this book is a fictional story that's built around this real church choir. But what I love about this is that, you know, in all the leadership books that I've read over the years, so many of them are based on sports analogies and things that really have not resonated with me. And growing up as a musician, the music analogy really resonates with me. So I'm hoping that this book is going to reach a lot of people that have found some of those other analogies to not be as helpful, and to help folks understand that they can learn from a lot of different avenues in life.
Right. So you have. I'm looking right now. I'm doing a background search on you as we speak. You have your own Amazon page. How many books have you written, Kathy?
This is number 7, so it's very exciting to have this many books out. But books have been really important to me in my business as a HR consultant, a speaker, trainer. It's established my credibility. It's provided the foundation. And that's really what I'm doing a lot of right now, is helping writers, or really helping non-writers who have some sort of thought leadership or expertise that they want to build their business around, and how do they do that by writing a book?
So, and that's how you and I connected, not because you're helping me write a book, but we connected on social media, I think maybe through a newsletter that you sent out or something, and I was intrigued by your business and what you were doing, and because we haven't been connected that long, and I don't know that we've met, have talked before this. But I was talking with a guy. I don't know if you know a guy on. He's an HR guy from England. His name is Doug Shaw. I was talking with him just the other day, and Doug is like he comes to conferences and sings, and he's a painter. you know, very he does things that I can't do from a creative perspective, singing like you. And I was kicked out of the seventh grade choir and really never tried singing again. But I'm fascinated by people who can, and I love the, I'm always fascinated by the creative process. So do you mind if I ask you a couple kind of tangential questions before we come back to the main topic of your book?
No, that's fine.
One that I'm
fascinated. And I'm happy to also, I'm also happy to come back as a guest another time too. So
I'm not going to blow your book off. I just want to drill down a little bit on this. Co-wrote the book, right, with a couple of people, including, you said, your nephew?
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, my nephew and I wrote my last book together when I wrote On Your Mark, From First Word to First Draft in 6 weeks. I approached Kevin because he is a fabulous writer, and he was waiting tables after graduating from William & Mary. And I said, Kevin, I think you could be a fabulous co-author on this book. And he said, well, I don't know what I'd have to offer. I've never written a book. I said, perfect. I mean, this many of the readers of my book are going to be, you know, first-time authors, and your perspective will be very valuable. So we wrote that book together. And then actually Lyle Sussman and I had written Hallelujah together, like I say, about 10 years ago. And it was just not quite right. It just didn't quite have the right stuff. And we knew we needed to bring another author in because we were both too close to the project to do with it what we needed to do. And so after Kevin and I had worked together on this project, I approached Lyle and said, hey, I've got this great nephew. What do you think? And he said, I don't know about this nepotism thing. And I said, well, just meet with Kevin and see what you think. And in spite of his concerns about nepotism, we've formed a really great trio in coming together to write this book.
Well, what I'm curious about, both from that and the other work that you mentioned that you do, which is help coach people to write, you know, help them write a book to kind of launch part of maybe a new career, speaking or some building their expertise, whatever it may be. How, can you break down for us sort of the process you go through in that in terms of helping someone find their way through what can be a really difficult process of writing down the things that you think are important to say in your own voice?
Absolutely. I think number one is you have to have great clarity about how you plan to use the book. And by that I mean not how the reader will benefit from the book. I mean, you need to have that clearly articulated in your mind. But you need to know how you want to use your book in your business. For example, my last book, On Your Mark, From First Word to First Draft, it's intended to be the core curriculum for my coaching practice. So I wrote it in that way. It's intended to be like a 6-week program, so it's in 6 chapters. So to know how you're going to use the book in your business, so you in effect create a strategic plan for your book just as you would for your business, and your plan for your book is integrated into the strategic plan for your business. So that's number one, is being very clear about how you plan to benefit from the book. Is it going to be a stream of income? Is it going to be a calling card that you give to prospects? Is it sort of better than a resume in terms of planning for your next step? You know, what are the intents and purposes for your book, and having that front and center before you begin? And then the next step is to figure out what are the obstacles. If especially if a book is something you've always wanted to do, what are the reasons you haven't written? For some people, it's time. For some people, it's lack of focus. For some folks, it's just too darn scary to write a book. So it's figuring out those things and then developing specific strategies. Then I do things like work through who is the target market and how does that coincide with your uses for the book, how you intend to use the book, what is your content outline, and then maybe most important is putting together the project plan. So just as you would in any big project, map it out and look at, here's when I want to have it done, here are the milestones, here are the things that need to happen, we get out the calendar and we actually block time on your calendar, and that's one of the most effective ways to get it done.
Okay. I'm sending out some pro tips from you as we speak on Twitter. So hopefully So when someone comes to you and I mean, are you beyond what sounds like a great project management approach? Are you also sort of their writing coach or writing muse? I mean, I don't think muse is the right word. I mean, so if you got somebody like that who wants to write but can't or is really afraid, how do you work with that? Or is that not usually not a successful kind of outcome?
Well, no, that is actually part of what I do. But I have to say that most of the folks that I work with are thought leaders, experts, consultants, speakers, trainers. I mean, they have a body of knowledge. They have some area of expertise. So I'm not helping them learn their content. So
right.
It's a sort of a given that they're coming to me with some basic level of content. But once that is in place, then it's overcoming all of the critical voices in your head that say, "Who do you think you are to write a book?" and "Why do you think you can write this book?" and "Isn't this going to be a lot of time and a lot of investment for not sort of an unknown outcome?" So it's helping folks deal with those sorts of things. So yeah, I help people with the creative process from start to finish.
Now you mentioned you wrote you write a lot of books in 6 weeks, right? And I've known a couple other people who seemingly just sat down and started writing, and you know, the next thing you know, here's a book. And then you hear other stories like yours. Oh, this one took us 10 years. Is a book only done when it's out of the oven, or you know, is there? I mean, how does that work? How do you know when you're ready to write a book?
Well, I think you have to have the knowledge, the content. I don't think there's any possible way that if you have to start by doing some research and doing some interviews and start collecting information, well, then you're not ready to sit down and write your book. You're just in that process. When I wrote my first books, they were around things that I had been doing: regular speaking, training, consulting. So they were part of my life. So it wasn't a matter of doing a new research or getting new information. It was a matter of simply organizing the ideas that I already had in a cohesive format.
Okay. So let me do a reset, Kathy. This is Michael Vandervoort, and it's Monday, April 20th on Drive Through HR. I'm hosting today, and our guest is Kathy Fiok, who's a multi-talented Renaissance woman doing HR work, singing, writing, and coaching—a lot of different things. And we're here to talk.
That's right.
We're here to talk a bit about what we've been talking about, kind of coaching writers. But let's go back to your book. The book is called "Hallelujah: An Anthem for Purposeful Work," and it's available on Amazon. I guess, is it actually out yet, or is it still in?
No, it is. It will be released on May 14th. So, the website is up, and we're taking pre-publication orders. So, you can go to hallelujahthebook.com and get more information there, and put in your order.
So the book, Kathy, as you said, is a parable of a. Why don't you just give us the brief description one more time, in case so that we can then we'll come back and finish with questions specifically about the book.
Sure. Well, in the story, Susan is a manager, and she's become very cynical. She has a dysfunctional work team. She's getting burnout and is very frustrated. Someone encourages her to, they understand she has a music background, so they encourage her to join the church choir. So she thinks, what the heck, you know, what could it hurt? I'll check it out. And she goes, and she's very impressed, and she ends up joining the choir. And as she experiences the choir, which is a real church choir, it's based on my church choir at Christ Church United Methodist, she basically sees the leader doing things that are just fairly amazing. And they're frankly the things that I have seen the best companies do. Things like have a clear mission and communicate that mission on an ongoing basis with people. Understanding that that the people that are on your team are volunteers. understanding that they always have choices about what they do and valuing them for what they bring to the table. Getting them hooked on why your organization is doing what you're doing will engage them. That will build loyalty and commitment like nothing else, like a paycheck will never even begin to. And it's really learning from volunteer organizations what they do. They're not giving out a paycheck, but there are benefits of working as a volunteer. And understanding those things as an HR leader and using those in your work team is what this book is really all about. It's about how do you get the best out of your people. And really the key is to treat them like volunteers and to be acting as a volunteer organization would.
Okay. Awesome. So with that then, so now you're what will you do with the book? Because my guess is, like most authors, you're probably not going to sell 18 million of this and retire to write books in the Bahamas for the rest of
the year. Doesn't sound all bad, but you know.
I hope it does, yeah. Actually. Maybe you'll say, I knew that guy when he launched my book and got me the 18 million sales. I doubt it, but no. No. So with this book. What's you talked about having a plan for the book, right? So what's your plan for this book, Kathy?
Well, first of all, we're just hoping that we will get this in the hands of lots and lots of HR leaders and business leaders, and for that matter, even employees, because there is a personal commitment to treating your work as you would a volunteer. So it's really understanding that as a volunteer, I am giving of my time and my energy and my effort, my discretionary effort, in exchange for, some things. So there's an exchange there that is very real, but it's having organizations understand that they need to be more purposeful in talking about why they are in business. How are they making the world a better place? We all want to have significant meaning in our lives. And the more we can help employees see that their work is directly making or indirectly making the world a better place, then that is the essence of employee engagement.
Totally agree with that. Our drive-through HR, I'm sorry, I want to get away from asking you questions about writing process, which is a personal fascination. So, and I'm trying not to make this about my own stuff. Is that the thing, Kathy, as you look back in your HR, our drive-through HR questions, our scripted questions are what keeps you up at night. So with a writer, you know, you were a practitioner, and now you're a writer and a coach. You you're kind of on a little bit different arc. So is that type of stuff, the day-to-day business of HR, is that the sort of thing that you just described that kept you up at night as an HR professional, or is it something else? And do those things find their way into your books now?
Absolutely. You know, the essence of Hallelujah is about how we connect with our employees in a way that allows them to see the fruits of their labor, see what they're doing and how they're making a difference. And that's what I really hope to do with Hallelujah. I hope that this book will be the map or the outline for how organizations can take it forward. In fact, one of the things that the authors are having a meeting tomorrow, and we're putting together our workbook that will accompany this, because I see this as something that work teams could take and use as a book club or a leadership development program to help folks talk through some of these really important issues at work.
Is this something that you see yourself speaking, as part of will you be speaking about this? And, I mean, as well, or is this primarily something that you'll promote as an author? I'm curious how you'll kind of, you know, you talked about developing a plan, what the purpose of your book is.
Absolutely. Well, Lyle and I both.
Multiple platform kind of thing for you?
Yes, absolutely. Lyle and I both are national speakers. We've both been speaking to audiences, keynotes, workshops, all across the country and internationally. So we hope that we're going to be taking this message to business leaders, to business organizations, to HR organizations. In fact, we have something tentatively booked with Kentucky SHRM. We're hoping that's going to come through. I'm going to be speaking on this with the Northern Kentucky SHRM group, and we hope that many other SHRM and HR organizations will see that this is going to be a really exciting message to bring to their HR leaders.
I got to tell you, you know, this will be part of, you know, following up and getting to know each other personally as we continue to network. But I got to tell you, I'm intrigued by this for my, you know, I select speakers for the event I just described to you. That's booked and done, right? But we do two a year. I think this would be fascinating, not only the story of the book, but sort of the story behind the book as well would be fascinating. We should chat about that, the creative process and engaging employees in different ways and that kind of thing. So this has been very interesting. So we're down to 4 minutes. Isn't it amazing how fast the conversation can go these shows? So rather than throw you the other two scripted questions, let me ask you this. What have we not talked about related to the book and where you're going to go with it? It comes out on May 15th. Hallelujah, Kathy Fiok. Tell us about what comes next once the book is released. And then from there, we'll sort of wrap up with where people can find you on the internet and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Well, we have several launch events. If you're in the Louisville area on May 14th for a big launch day, we're going to have a big celebration here. We're also going to have a virtual book launch on May 13th. So if you're not in Louisville or in the area, and you want to hear more from all of the authors about the book's content, we'll be talking about that on May 13th. I think that's at 1 o'clock Eastern. We'll also be speaking, like I say, at many other conferences and programs. Several of these are committed now, but we're hoping to get out and really get the word out that this is a way to rethink work and to rethink how we approach the why of work.
Okay. And you have a Twitter account, because I found it while we were talking, and I've been tweeting some of your tips, and I tweeted a link to your website. But share with DriveThru listeners the website and your Twitter account and whatever else may be pertinent from a social media perspective.
Absolutely. My Twitter account is Kathy Fiok, so it's CathyF as in Frank, Y-O-C-K, Kathy Fiok. You can also connect with my personal webpage is kathyfiok.com. It's very clever. And then we have a website for the book, and that's hallelujahthebook.com. And we have all kinds of cool stuff on there, including some free downloads and free stuff that you can take away and start seeing the kinds of thinking that we have about changing the language to purposeful work.
Great. So on Twitter, Kathy Fiok, kathyfiok.com, Amazon, look her up. You'll find a whole slew of books there, lots of other things. You also have your coaching business. I think you have a newsletter or an email that comes out periodically to help writers. A lot of things going on. We'll have to definitely get you on again, Kathy. I really appreciate you being a guest today. And good luck on the release of your book. And I do hope it sells 18, if not 20 million copies.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Michael. It's been great to be on the program.
So I'm going to play a little bit of music to get us out of here. And then we'll Louisville for coffee.
Fabulous.
Kathy, have a great day.
Thanks so much.